God is omniscient. He knows everything. Pastor Ray Bentley points out why that fact is so encouraging.
I want you to know this. Your dad in heaven loves you so much. He knows you, how you're wired. He knows what would make you the most complete, happy, and fulfilled. And guess what? If you will delight yourself in the Lord, the Bible says He also will give you the desires of your heart.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Some people feel like their life has fallen to pieces. Yesterday is full of bad memories, and tomorrow is full of uncertainty. Well, today, Pastor Ray points out God specializes in putting the broken pieces of a shattered life back together. Here's Pastor Ray now to explain.
James chapter 2, the message title is Faith That Works Is Alive. And as I was saying, you've got Paul who says, on the one hand, you are saved by grace, which means gift, and through faith, which is trusting in the Lord. And even that faith that you have to believe in Jesus, that's not something you worked up. It is the gift of God unto salvation. Now, so Paul spends a lot of time saying that, you know, it's grace by faith alone without the works of the law. Meaning you cannot by good works earn your way to heaven. But now James comes along and says something that sounds like the opposite. He says, hey, if you have faith or belief, but you don't have works in your life that demonstrate that you actually believe, he says, then you have a dead faith and that won't save you. And what James says is the only way that you can know whether someone is a believer or not is how they act, not just by what they say. Look with me in verse 18. He says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. And here's what James says, I will show you my faith by my works, by my obedience to God. I'll demonstrate to you, I really do trust in God and believe in God. Verse 19, you believe that there is one God, you do well, but even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, some pretty strong words from James, that faith without works is dead. Faith and works, as I put here in your notes, are like two wings of a bird. You need two wings to fly, to soar. One wing is sad. It's not enough to get flight. Faith and works are kind of like that. Yes, you need to believe and you need to trust. But the Bible says, work out also your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do according to His pleasure. Now, here's another interesting thing. Verse 19. Look at this, what James says. He says, you say, I believe in one God. You believe that there is one God. Okay, good. You do well. And then, not impressed, James goes on, well, even the demons believe and tremble. In other words, just saying, well, I believe in God. I even believe in Jesus. Well, that's good, but so do the demons. As I put here in your notes, there is not a demon in the universe who is an atheist. Did you ever think about that? There's not one demon that is an atheist. So in essence, what James is saying is that it's not enough to intellectually assent to the story of Jesus and the gospel, the death and burial and resurrection. That's good, it's a beginning, and it's not enough even to have an emotional response to that story, which is also good and should happen, not in fear, but one of embracing. But the final part that makes faith that saves is when He enters your heart of hearts, when your will is open. That's why Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in. I love that verse because of what it tells me about Jesus, my Lord. He knows who he is. He knows that he has the power that he claims to have, that he's God manifest in the flesh, and he died for our sins, and he rose from the dead. He's the Lord. He is Savior. But he doesn't come force anybody. Not one person is forced to live a righteous life or to follow Jesus or, for that matter, to go to heaven. The only people who will be in heaven are those who want to. And I love that how this tells about his nature. He doesn't push. He doesn't demand. He doesn't force. Like a gentleman, he stands patiently, persistently all through our lives and knocks. With the voice of one crying, please open the door. Someone has said, you know, the door of the human heart the doorknob is only on the inside. Only you can open it and allow him to come in. And when he comes in, yes, your mind, your heart, but your will. Now the Holy Spirit's in there and he's going to change things up. He's going to move things around. He's going to rearrange your life. Listen, I know not all of you are called to be a missionary, pastor, whatever, but all of you have been uniquely designed by God. All of you can have your own, your experience can be not, it's not just reserved for super saints. But when the Holy Spirit comes in you, when you melt and when you yield to him, he can put all the pieces of your life back together. We make mistakes. We blow it. We blow it royally. But our dad is so good, and he is so gracious, and he is so loving. He knew in advance our weaknesses, our mistakes, and our failures. And he loves and waits patiently, and he's knocking, and he says, any moment, if you'll respond to me, I will come in, and I can transform your life into something that is so amazing and so beautiful, you can't even imagine it. Now look with me in verses 21 through 24. It gives now an example from the life of Abraham, a very powerful one. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect or complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Let me give the background of this story. We know the story, which I will tell about him going to the mountain to offer Isaac. But where it came was when Abraham had no son. His dream was, I want a son. Do you have a dream this morning, something that you want more than anything, but it hasn't happened yet? That's where Abraham was. He had just fought a battle with 318 of his men against these four kings to rescue his nephew Lot, who had gotten into trouble. And he came back, and he just felt spent. And he goes, God, he goes, look, I'm dying. And the only pleasure that I could have is if you've blessed me, I've got a lot of neat things, but if I don't have a son, you know, then I don't have anyone to pass all that you've blessed me with to. The Lord came to him and said, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. And in Genesis 15:6, he said, look now toward heaven. Count the stars if you were able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Okay, everybody look up here for just a moment. I want you to know this. Your dad in heaven loves you so much. He knows you, how you're wired. He knows what would make you the most complete, happy, and fulfilled. And guess what? As he threw his arm around Abraham and said, that's exactly what I want to give to you. That's what our dad does. If you will delight yourself in the Lord, the Bible says he also will give you the desires of your heart. Do you know why? Because the desires of your heart were put there by the Lord himself. The desire of your heart I give you. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and God reckoned to him righteousness. Now, do you know that right there, that's the first instance in the Bible the word believe is found? It's when Abraham believed a good promise from God. I want to say to you this morning, I don't care how badly your life has gone or what mistakes you've made, what failures there have been, what shortcomings, what things have been taken from you. God is not finished. He's got all of eternity. And a few little things that happen in a few moments, this is nothing. This is nothing for God. To fix your life, to heal your heart, to reconcile and to bring healing and to bring meaning and fulfillment and purpose and passion into your life. I'm going to give you a son.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We love hearing how these daily studies touch lives.
Dear Pastor Ray, God bless you for your radio ministry. I marvel at how God always knows my needs even before I do. Your recent message hit home with me when you shared the story of a young woman struggling with depression. My son also struggles with depression, and our family has prayed for him for 9 years. Thank God his sister, who recently became a Christian, has shared her faith with him, and now he has turned himself into a drug rehab center. Thank you again for extending hope and promise to all who listen to your radio program.
How have you found hope and encouragement through Pastor Ray's daily studies? Would you drop Pastor Ray an email and let him know? Write him today at ray@raybentley.com. ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, Abraham's faith grows. Some 30 years later, this little boy grows up, the dream, the desire of Abraham's heart. And now God comes and says, I want you to sacrifice. Take your son Isaac to the mountain I will show you, and I want you to sacrifice him there. I want to see that you love me, Abraham, more than your gorgeous wife, Sarah. More than your beautiful son, Isaac. I want to know that I really am first. You know, that's the way we were made. I want to say genetically designed. I'm talking on the atomic level. Every cell of your being was made to be madly, passionately, deeply in love with God. And when you're right there, then you're on fire with love for everything and everyone else around you. That's the priority. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind, with all your strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. That's the alignment. So now, show me, Abraham. You believed in me 30 years ago. I gave you a son. Show me that I am first. Abraham takes his son, Isaac, who's not a little boy, and walks up to the mountain and goes to Mount Moriah. And there he tells his servants at a certain part, you stay here. The lad and I will go yonder and worship God, and we will come back to you. I can't imagine. There's a lot that you have to read between the lines. When Abraham took his son Isaac, and they're walking up to the peak of the mountain, and finally, at some point, Abraham shares, Isaac, the Lord told me to sacrifice you. I can imagine as Isaac's looking at Dad going, Dad, I think you prayed a little too long last night. He goes, no, son, I don't understand it, but I know I've heard the Lord. But I also want you to know this, son, because we know what Abraham reasoned. How could he do that? The Bible tells us. Because why would God ask me to sacrifice my son? You told me that this son would have descendants like the stars of the heavens. So Abraham reasoned in his mind that in order for God not to be a liar, and he had found that he could trust God and that God's not a liar. The only way for God not to be a liar, if you want me to sacrifice my son, okay, I'll do it, because I do love you more than anything else. But I believe that you will then have to raise my son Isaac from the dead to fulfill your promise and keep what you told me. And so then Abraham's there, and Isaac voluntarily gave himself. He said, okay, Dad, I trust you. I believe you. I've known you for these years, and God has always been faithful to you, so I don't understand, but go ahead, tie me, bind me. Because he was big, his dad was old, he could have run away, overpowered his dad. He voluntarily, because Isaac is like Jesus, who voluntarily gave himself to his father to be the sacrifice. Now, you know the end of the story. Abraham's ready to go, and the angel cries out, stop! There's a ram caught in the thicket. Now God knows you would not withhold anything from your son. The whole thing was a drama. It was a stage, theatrical play. Because on that same exact mountain, 2,000 years later, this time the dad is not Abraham, it's God, our father. The son is Jesus. And as you know, in the end of the story, there was nobody who said stop. There's somebody else, or a ram or animal or anything else. This time the knife came down, and the knife was the cross of Jesus Christ. He gave his life. But as the Father said, and as the Son predicted, on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And he said, now, I have crushed the head of the serpent. I own life, and I own death, and I own it all. And I have resurrected, and anybody who will believe and follow and trust in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what that was all about. But James makes the point that Abraham demonstrated what he believed, that only God could see in his heart, but he let the whole world know. And that's why Abraham is the father of faith. For all of us, he's our spiritual dad. Why? Because he had faith that said God is able to resurrect that which has died. All kinds of dreams in your life. You'll have the birth of a vision, and then followed by the death of a vision or a dream. But that's not the end of the story. God resurrects dreams and visions that have died. He's in the business of that. That's his nature, and he's good at it. And he can restore, and he can heal, he can mend, and he can make us whole and brand new. So Abraham's obedience was showing that he really believed inside of his heart. Genesis 22:18 says, through your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus, but at some point you got to get to know your dad, your Father in heaven, through the Word, and then start obeying him to the best of your ability. But it's the Holy Spirit that produces the good works in our life. James goes on to say, this is why Abraham is called the friend of God. Now, it's one thing for me to say God's my friend. It's another thing when God says to everybody in heaven and earth, you're my friend. And that's what Abraham found. Now, John 15, verses 14 and 15 is in your notes. These are the words of Jesus. Let's read this out loud together. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He says, I call you friends because you do what I say. You believe, actually, what I am saying. So it isn't just saying I have faith. It's demonstrating faith because the works of my life are in harmony with what I am declaring that I believe. If I were to say, this is probably a horrible analogy, but if I were to say, there's a bomb that's going to go off in 15 seconds. And I just think that's horrible. I can't believe people would come and they would plant a bomb and they would do that. And I just kept talking and going on. You'd all stare at me and go, what's he doing? Why is he saying that? And he just stands there and he goes on. If on the other hand, I go, get out of here. And I run down the steps and run outside. There's a bomb. And then it disappeared. La, 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 la. You would all go, well, at least he believes what he is saying. Get out. You know, you'd all be jumping up going, what's going on? Because my actions are showing that I really believe what I am saying. The gospel is powerful. Our lives should demonstrate. And honestly, the world, they need more than just to hear the gospel. They want and need to see it. Not perfection, but they need to see that we actually believe and are struggling, if not striving, to obey the very things because we believe Jesus is who he claimed to be. That's what the world's waiting for. Real Christians who actually love God and one another. Amen? Okay, closing with verses 25 and 26. And I love this last little thing. He says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So he goes, okay, we could say, well, Abraham, he's this towering giant. How can I don't have that kind of faith. So James goes, okay, how about Rahab? Abraham is he's a Jew. He's the chosen people. Rahab is a Gentile. Abraham lived a life of righteousness. Rahab lived a life of immorality. And she didn't even know very much about God. She heard from a couple of spies about their God, maybe had heard through the other people. And, you know, here's her testimony in Joshua 2, verses 9 through 11. When she heard these spies, here's what she said. I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out from Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And therefore, she gathered her little family around, and she said, you have to do what I say. Stay in this house. Their God's coming, and this place is going to come under judgment. I'm hanging a red cord out our window, and they said that we would be spared. And I believe them. It's going to happen. What they said is coming to pass. It was a prophecy. She believed in that word. They came. The walls of Jericho fell. The Jews came in, and that one window they left alone. And not only was Rahab saved, her whole family was saved. Then she leaves with the Jews on her way, in, you know, further into the promised land, ends up marrying a Jewish guy. And then on top of that, she actually becomes in the line of the Messiah. An amazing grace. In the first chapter of the New Testament book of Matthew, there's little Rahab's name in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You don't have to be a superhero saint to have faith that shows by your actions you believe what God has said. It can be for all of us. Amen?
From the book of James today, Pastor Ray Bentley with good encouragement about faith that reveals itself in action. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, Faith That Works Is Alive. We'll send it your way on CD for a gift of any size. Again, it's called Faith That Works Is Alive. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in James on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. You know, Pastor Ray, I'm always amazed when I see a map of the Middle East with millions of square miles that belong to Arab countries and a very small dot in the midst that belongs to Israel. And the Jewish people were without a homeland entirely until just 70 years ago, correct?
That is exactly true. And, you know, there's never been a people that is so ancient as the Jewish people who lost their homeland and then retained their unique identity, as the Jewish people did, and then several thousand years later goes back to the original place from whence they came. It has never happened with any other people in all of human history, but it did happen with Israel and the Jewish people. So you know that this is something that only God could have designed and prophesied and put together for such a time as this. We are living in one of the most exciting hours in human history. So I've written a booklet on it called A Window in Time. It begins in 2018. I don't think it ends here, Dave. I think it begins. This is a window of time. We need to be awakened spiritually. I think a lot of people are seeing, sensing, feeling. We're living in some extraordinary times. This is such a prophetic hour. It's a time for the church to be awake and alive and being a witness for the Lord as never before, because our King is coming and the kingdom is coming, and we want to be about his business and being involved and investing in the harvest fields for such a time as this. That's why I wrote this booklet, A Window in Time.
Yeah, and we want to send this resource your way here during the month of May. Again, it's called A Window in Time. And we'll send it to say thank you for your donation of any amount, which helps us to keep bringing Pastor Ray's daily studies to you each day. Write to us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at raybentley.com.
And David, one more thing. I wanted to encourage everybody to please sign up for my daily devotional. We'd love to send that to you. Just go sign up for it at raybentley.com.
I'd love to hear from you.
All right. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in James. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.